Welcome to the My Shamanic Life podcast, your exploration of spiritual ecology and the shamanic and spiritual practices that promote well-being for all beings. I'm your host, Debbie Phil, and I'm here to share insights and practices to get ready, get rooted, and get real about your health and the state of life on planet Earth. We'll explore the wisdom of deep ecology, look at some sad truths about the disappearing more than human world, feel into earth-based practices and teachings, and take action to help restore the wonder and magic of biodiversity to our world. I invite you to discover your passion and power, to unlock your inner wisdom, and to connect with our earth family as you map your own path to service. I am a white woman recording on the Adirondack hunting territory of the Mohawk Nation of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, ceded in 1797 without council approval. I acknowledge that my presence here is the ongoing legacy of settler colonialism, which includes the exclusion and erasure of many Indigenous peoples. I also acknowledge that this land I am on was once shared with species that have been eradicated by those settlers, including the Eastern Cougar, the Canadian Lynx, the Eastern Elk, the Passenger Pigeon, and the Gray Wolf. Settle in now, and wherever you are listening, notice how the earth is holding you. Become aware of what touches the ground, the floor, your chair, or whatever is supporting you. Sink a little deeper into that support and feel your energetic roots sink down into the earth. Feel how you are held, anchored in, nourished and nurtured. You are here. The time is now. I've been thinking about connection lately, especially the connection between like-hearted humans and how we can find each other and gather in sacred celebration. I'm blessed to have opportunities to connect both in person and virtually. In a couple of days, on Sunday, February 25th, I'll be gathering with the Mountain River Circle at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Glens Falls in Queensbury, New York, to work with the energy of this weekend's full moon. These monthly in-person gatherings are nurturing to a growing local community. On Wednesday, March 20th, the circle is on Zoom to do ritual for Ostara, the spring equinox. Here, my circle of connection is worldwide, but the group that gathers around the virtual altar is still powerful and nourishing for each other. The links with more information for both of these are in the show notes. Now I'm pleased to welcome Sherry Kurtikel back to the podcast to tell us about a tree which is all around me and once caused a riot that was a precursor to the American Revolution. If you haven't heard one of Sherry's episodes before, Sherry is the CEO of Victim's Voice, an app she created to help victims of domestic violence safely and securely document abuse in a way that stands up in court. Sherry is also studying clinical herbalism with an emphasis on traditional Chinese medicine using Western herbs at the Herb Whisperer Learning Center, formerly the East-West School of Planetary Herbalism. Sherry is an avid gardener, and she has a line of herbal products under the name Glitter Witch Gardens.
Sherry, it is great to have you back, and I really love the plant that you chose for this month, because it's another one that's around outside of me. So take it away.
Well, thank you for having me again. And I'm really excited for this month's plant as well. I've been doing a lot of herbs, but this time I decided to use something that had medicinal and magical properties. It's actually a tree. So this month, we're going to be talking about the Eastern White Pine. And as always, I start us off with a poem. So here we go. Eastern White Pine, or Tree of Peace, breathe fresh aromatics for stress release. Acupuncture like needles in groups of five. Spell WHITE to assist you to identify. Their needles do aid in anti-inflammation. The tea is quite helpful in coughing cessation. Pinostrobus has two cone genders, taking 2 years to mature. The male cones cause your allergies, so lay the blame there for sure. The white pine oozes sticky resin. Have you ever had it in your hair? If you do, smear smooth peanut butter to get it out. Do not despair. The Iroquois sealed canoes using beeswax with pine resin. Now pine is used as Christmas trees, all part of holiday obsession. It has more vitamin C than a lemon or an orange. Take a walk through the woods and enjoy. So I thought as a little joke, I would end it with orange because nothing rhymes with orange. So just take a walk in the woods and enjoy. So Eastern White Pine, commonly known as the white pine, or just a lot of people just call it long needle pine, is an evergreen conifer tree, and it's native along the eastern seaboard, but it goes all the way up from Canada so according to the U.S. Forest Service, it goes from Newfoundland west to extreme southeast Manitoba to the Great Lakes states along the Atlantic seaboard into New Jersey and in the Appalachian Mountains to northern Georgia. We also see it in Iowa, western Kentucky, western Tennessee, and Delaware. So it really is on kind of the right-hand side of the U.S., if you will. And Debbie, being in the Adirondacks, you'll find it everywhere up there. So it's like a staple tree. So the male cones do have the overlapping scales, and they open to release the pollen. White pine is not the pine tree, though, that really usually irritates people to no end. It will cause you to sneeze, cause your eyes to get red and itchy, but it's not the pollen that like coats your car. So don't get too mad at white pine. The female cones start off really green in color. And then by the end of the first growing season, the cones will be about an inch long and they'll start to turn purplish color. And then during the second summer, the cones can actually be up to 8 inches long and a full inch in width. And then they start to turn a yellowish green and then a light brown. And when they turn that light brown, they start to ripen and they'll start off really tight. As soon as you see one that's kind of loose, chances are the seeds are gone. So seeds are dispersed a lot with squirrels and birds, but primarily through wind. Or the pine cones will drop, and as they drop, the seeds get released. And then the wind picks them up because they're very light. So this tree really works with wind distribution to reseed itself. Some fun facts. The Eastern White Pine is often used as a Christmas tree here in the U.S. It is very commonly used for building materials. And in fact, some other fun facts about building materials is that during the 17th and 18th century, when we were just the 13 colonies here in the U.S., the white pine was called mast pines because the colonists here would harvest the pine trees. They were known to be so straight and tall, but still somewhat flexible. So they would harvest the pine trees and send them over back to the crown to be used as masts for the Royal Navy. So there's a whole story too about how when the American Revolution started, that there was kind of an uprising, and we said, we're not sending these over to them anymore. And there was an act of rebellion that was actually called the Pine Tree Riot. And a lot of people say that that fueled the Boston Tea Party. So interesting little tidbits. Going back even further in Europe, prior to Stonehenge, pine trees were often used to build the megalithic wood henges, and they were dating back to at least 8500 BC. Archaeologists discovered that pines had been cultivated for their straight pole-like features, and that's why they were used to create these henges. The center pole always aligned with the North Star to create a very large sundial. And then the outer rings mark the four directions, or winds as they were called. So the pine trees were responsible for tracking movement of the sun, the moon, and the stars long before the stones ever were. So as Northern Europeans embraced this way of living around 4500 BC, they started realizing that they would make really good building materials as well. So they started using them in building homes around their villages and such. Before the 19th century, pine trees were referred to as fir trees based on the Germanic and Norse word fir, which is F-Y-R, which meant fire, light, and the rising sun. Makes sense, right? We're talking about these pine henges. And then in 1753, Carl Linnaeus separated them into the Pinus genus, while the fir trees were assigned to the Abies genus. And then the Pinus genus was divided into two subgenuses, Pinus, which was yellow hardwood pines, and Strobus, which is the white softwood pines. So the Pinus strobus is the eastern white pine. In the 1680s, the French word pinel literally meant like a pine cone. So you can see where all these words start to play out, and that's where the tree gets named and everything. So going back to our fun facts, pine resin is also used in a lot of incense, and because it has protective and cleansing properties. And if you get pine resin, as I alluded to in the poem, you can use some kind of oil. So peanut butter, as a kid, I grew up in the South and constantly climbing pine trees. I was always getting what we called pine sap or pine tar in my hair. And so the quickest thing was, growing up as a kid, we always had peanut butter in the house. So you grab the smooth peanut butter, hopefully not the crunchy, and put it in your hair. Well, the oils help release the stickiness and help slide that pine pitch or that pine resin out of your hair. Pine resin is not water soluble. So if you actually want to dissolve it, you're going to have to use a really high proof alcohol like isopropyl alcohol or Everclear. Also what is used to make moonshine. So you can use those to dissolve it. But if it's on your skin or in your hair, oil is actually the best thing to help get rid of it. Native American tribes would eat the inner bark of the white pine as a food source when all other foods were scarce. And interestingly, Debbie, I know you're going to love this fact. Adirondack, the word Adirondack came from a Native American word meaning pine eater. So a neighboring tribe to the Iroquois were starving and they would eat the inner pine bark. And so the Iroquois called them Adirondack, which meant pine eaters. So that's where that word comes from. The Iroquois themselves would use the resin and they would mix it with beeswax to seal canoes. So canoes were just one thing, but a lot of things, baskets and all sorts of things, boats, pails, everything, anything that needed to be waterproofed and sealed, they would use the pine resin. The Chippewa also used pine resin to treat infections and even treat gangrenous wounds, because the pine resin has a number of really efficient antimicrobials that would eat away at all that bacteria in there. So the wet pulp would be mixed with the inner bark or the pine tar mixed with beeswax or butter, and then that would be applied to wounds and used as a salve to prevent infections. The young pine cones were stewed by the Ojibwe Indians with meat and were said to be sweet and not pitchy in taste. And so the seeds are sweet and really nutritious, but they're not as tasty as some of the Western pine nuts. And certainly not as tasty as the pine nuts that you get out of China, which is a completely different species. The pine tar is produced by slowly burning pine roots and branches or small trunks, and then in a partially smothered flame, and it creates this pine tar. And when that's processed, that's how they make turpentine to remove paint. So some more fun facts about Eastern white pine. So some additional information about the white pine is that it's really easy to harvest and dry. So I was out on a walk right before this recording this podcast, and one of my neighbors had a white pine, and there was a branch, which I'm holding. You can't see me. But the pine needles are a little dry. The ones on the tree were a little, you know, more moist. You can harvest it really anytime, but it's technically going to be better in the early spring when the saps start to rise out of the roots. So when the weather starts off where the mornings and evenings are cold, and during the day, the temperatures rise about 20 degrees. So surprisingly, in February, where I am in New Jersey, this is happening. We're in the 20s and 30s in the morning. We're in the 50s and 60s during the day, which is a little crazy. But this is when, in our region, when the pine saps or those nutritive juices that went down to the roots to keep the tree alive during the winter are now rising up into the tree. And one of the most recognizable moments of this happening, of course, is maple. And this is when you tap the maple trees to get the maple syrup. But all trees do this. And so in early spring, which is becoming earlier and earlier for us now, the saps will start to rise. And that's really when these needles are going to be best to harvest. So you want to make sure, first of all, you want to make sure that you're picking the right pine tree, because there are some out there that can be a little toxic. So when you look at a pine tree, there are needles on the branch, and those needles are in bunches. And what you want to do is you want to pull back a bunch off of the branch and just pluck it out. And then there should be 5 needles in that bunch. And the way it reminds you is 5 needles spells white, W-H-I-T-E. So, and they're long. They look and feel kind of like acupuncture needles. So that's a good way to tell. 5 needles to the bunch, and they're long and they look like little acupuncture needles. So you want to harvest these, and take all the needles, and you can even harvest the small branches that the needles are attached to as well. And then you want to gently rinse them with cold water. You want to make sure the tree you're getting them from is not being sprayed. It's not next to a road that's going to get a lot of exhaust. Because if you're going to be using this for medicinal purposes, you want to make sure that it's not capturing a lot of toxins on it. So you gently rinse them with cold water and remove any soil, debris, definitely bird poop. You're going to find some bird poop on your branches because birds love to be in these trees. And then you just want to pat them dry and lay them out flat. You don't want to pile them up because you don't want to get any, you know, mold or anything like that growing on it. So you definitely want to slow dry these. Don't dry these in a dehydrator. Don't dry these in an oven. These are aromatic plants. And when you have an aromatic plant, you want to air dry it. So the aromatics stay, the essential oils stay in the plant. Then once you do that, then you can either put the whole needles if you have a tall enough jar, or you can chop them up and put them in a smaller jar and put them in an airtight container. Generally, I always put things in like an amber or a dark blue bottle and keep it in a dark, cool place. You can store fresh pine needles for about a year. So date your jar when you put them in, and then you can store them for up to a year, sometimes longer. Then when these make a great tea, a fantastic tea, very tasty. Robin Rose Bennett, who is a very renowned green witch herbalist, one of her favorite plants is Eastern White Pine. And she has a ton of tea recipes. So visit her social media and you'll find all kinds of pine recipes. But I have a recipe also for you on my website. And it's very simply, you take a quarter cup of clean, dry white pine needles. You want to chop them up so you have lots of exposure. And you want to boil 2 cups of hot water. And then you want to put the pine needles into the water and turn the water down to a simmer. Simmer it for just a few minutes and then turn it off and let it steep. I let it steep a minimum of 15 minutes, but you can do it 5 to 10 minutes, especially if you're on the go. 15 minutes will extract a little more of the medicinal properties out of it. And then just strain it through a fine mesh strainer and drink it and enjoy it. It's just as simple as that. So definitely try it. I highly recommend it. Pine trees are really essential to native ecology. Eastern white pines provide food and habitat for numerous wildlife species. Songbirds and small mammals eat eastern white pine seeds. The bark is a food source for cottontail and snowshoe rabbits, as well as porcupines. Red squirrels can eat the cones by extracting the seeds, you know. Those squirrels like their sweet seeds. And then they drop plenty of those that get eaten by crossbills, pine siskins, and white-tailed deer. Gophers graze the roots and seedlings of young trees. So a big food source for a lot of wildlife. But beyond just a food source, eastern white pine forests support a really rich community of breeding birds. Bald eagles build their nests in living eastern white pines way up high, usually in the main branch located just below the top, the crown top. Trees that have broken tops provide really valuable habitat for cavity nesting wildlife like owls and squirrels and woodpeckers. And down on the ground, young black bear cubs use large eastern white pine to climb to safety. And in northeastern Minnesota, black bear mothers and cubs spent more than 95% of the time in April and May within 600 feet of either an eastern white pine or an eastern hemlock. So clearly they see the protective qualities of these trees and they're trusting them with their young. Now, if you think, oh, white pines, they do so much, I'm going to rush out and plant some in my yard. Don't do it. This is a full sun to light shade tree, and it can grow in ideal conditions up to 2 to 3 feet per year. Okay. But it does drop branches. While it is a nice, bendy, flexible tree, if it gets a really good storm, it's going to throw a lot of branches. And these trees get to be enormous. And they can live up to 200 years. And they have a big, deep spread for roots. So if you're living in the city or you're living in a tight-knit suburban community, not an ideal tree for in the community. Maybe on the outskirts as a protective border, yes. White pines, though, if you are going to plant white pines, if you have some land and you decide that you're going to do it, they can be a little fussy when they're getting established. And they have a much better chance of survival if you plant them under a light canopy of already existing trees. This is because the white pine weevil, or also known as the Engelmann spruce weevil, is one of the primary pests. And when those trees are out in the open, that it is like an invitation to these weevils, come on down and eat me. So putting them underneath the canopy really protects them in those first crucial years that they need to get themselves established. They grow in U.S. hardiness zones as of the new 2023 map in zones 3 through 8. So pine, in addition to having a lot of medicinal qualities, such as it is a bitter, so you can make some bitters from it. It's spicy and pungent. It works as an astringent, so this helps tighten the pores so they're less inflamed, which leads to, it's also known as an anti-inflammatory. So drink that pine tea during allergy season, especially in early spring. It helps your body acclimate, and it's an anti-inflammatory, so it will help reduce all the inflammation from the histamines going crazy. Sounds a little counterproductive, but it's, you know, kind of like when you get the allergy tests done and they tell you start off in small bits to build up. So start drinking your pine tea now, and you'll probably be much better off in the spring. So I mentioned a couple of times about these needles looking like acupuncture needles. Well, they work as a circulation stimulant. So they open up the meridians and allow that free-flowing chi. And that's kind of how an acupuncture needle works, right? Yeah, you put the needles in to open up those meridians, open up those channels so that your life force or your chi can move through your body. So a lot of plants beyond just pine, other plants, if you pay attention and you listen, they will speak to you. They will tell you what they're good for. A lot of times if you see plants with like red veins or red stems, it has to do with blood and circulation. So these needles telling you acupuncture to increase that circulation stimulation. So stimulation is going to be a theme here. White pine stimulates the kidneys and helps move dampness down and out of your body. So you think about dampness moving down and out. That is what is known as a diuretic. You drink too much of this and you're going to be going to the bathroom and peeing a little more than normal. So just make sure when you drink the tea that you're not on the road. It's also a really great expectorant. So it works to transform phlegm. And in Chinese medicine, they call that transform phlegm and expel wind cold, which translates to it's an expectorant. So if you have not a dry cough, but one of those wet, phlegmy coughs, then drink the tea. It's really good for breaking up all that mucus and helping you cough it out more efficiently. Okay, so now we're going to move away from all the gross stuff. And we're going to talk about some of the magical aspects of white pine. And there are quite a few. There's an expression that I'm sure all of you have heard of, and it goes, when you're pining over someone, meaning that you want them so bad that it just hurts. Well, when you look at the pine needles, the white pine, again, think of those acupuncture needles. They transform and allow that energy to flow. So they are cleansing in nature and healing in nature and allow regeneration and rebirth. There is a really awesome tarot deck called the Tree Spirit Tarot, and it describes the message pine delivers really beautifully. And it says, and I quote, "The pine spirit is reminding us to take responsibility for our actions and to connect with our intuitive cycles and higher purpose. By embracing our sense of purpose, we are better able to stabilize what may feel shaky or uncertain. Pine also inspires us to tap into our inner light as we move through periods of darkness." So pine is, the pine tree is a symbol of peace. The Iroquois tribe recognized this and called it the tree of peace. And it also played an important role in unifying the six tribes of Native Americans, forming the Iroquois League. And when they planted a white pine tree in the 15th century, they called that tree the tree of peace. So pine can be used in cleansing spells, healing spells, self-transformation spells. And I think it would be a really good plant to work with if you're going to be doing shadow work, because all of this, you're cleansing out the negative, the old, what no longer serves you, and then you're healing and self-transforming yourself into the new version of yourself. Pine trees were significant offerings during rituals in ancient Mayan civilization. It is believed to be sacred, and its wood was being used to light up fires during rituals and ceremonies. The pine tree was also favored for building temples. And so when we think of this, long ago, this longevity, wisdom, harmony with nature, that all goes to that balance, that tree of peace. And so I think this is just a really positive tree to work with positive magic. Some of the symbolism associated with Eastern white pine, it is associated with the planet Mars and the constellation Pisces. It is an air element. If you look at the branch, it's a very airy tree. Its pine needles are very open and long and airy, and it's an aromatic. So it has that smell that just makes you feel good. It is associated with the heart chakra, which goes back to love. So if you are going to work with positive love spells, and I recommend self-love spells, this is a really good plant because it is directly associated with the heart chakra. There are numerous deities that it is associated with. In ancient Anatolia, Cybele. In Greek, it is associated with Pan, Attis, and Dionysus. In Roman deities, with Venus and Sylvanus, and Middle Eastern Astarte. So you can see, like, all of the different cultures embraced the pine in their own deities. And for the tarot, using that tree spirit tarot, the Two of Evergreens, which equates to the Two of Wands. It is a white pine peacemaker. And so with that, I will leave you with peace, harmony, and lots of love with your Eastern white pine.
Thank you so much, Sherry. That was amazing as usual. And I look forward to having you back next month to share about another plant.
Excellent. Well, thank you again so much for having me.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of My Shamanic Life. Check the show notes for the links I mentioned this week. And remember to like and subscribe to get weekly episodes in your feed with more practices, teachings, and actions so you can get ready, get rooted, and get real about life on this planet. May you find wonder and magic in the beings around you this week, and practice walking gently on our earth each and every day.